Nanotechnology, is it the wave of the future, the answer to the problems of the future, or could it be the biggest disaster of the 21st century? We began to explore nanotechnology's past, present, and future, and in the report that follows, we will examine some of the social effects of nanotechnology and let you be the judge. We turn first to our senior historians, Dylan Demers, Jess Calupo, and Josh Weinberg.
Nanotechnology is a field of applied science that deals with the control of matter on a scale smaller than 1 micrometer. Nanoparticles are larger than an atom and smaller than a human cell. The term nanotechnology is used very broadly, but nanotech procedures are already in place. We use them in our daily lives, but do we really understand their impact?
Nanotechnology was originally envisioned by the scientist Richard Feynman in 1959. His ideas suggested that the term nanotechnology should mean building things from the bottom up.
In 1974, physicist Norio Taniguchi first used the word nanotechnology to refer to production technology to get the extra high accuracy and ultra fine dimensions. In 1981, the world saw the invention of scanning tunnel and microscopy, or STM, which allows scientists to feel the surface of objects too small to be viewed by conventional microscopes or even powerful electron microscopes. With the invention, scientists could begin to see and manipulate individual atoms. By 1989, IBM scientist Don Igler was surprised to learn that in addition to using an SCM to look at tiny particles, he could also use it like a pair of tweezers to move things as small as an atom. 10 years later, in 1999, the United States Congress held their first congressional hearings on nanotechnology and proposed a National Nanotechnology Initiative.
Richard Feynman's ideas were translated into concepts for many fields in the 1980s by scientist Eric Drexler, who began using nanotechnology to describe building machines on the scale of molecules. He imagined machines, computers, refrigerators, motors, etc., all virtually smaller than a single cell. Drexler had a great vision for the future of science, but it took many years for his ideas to become reality. Today, some would describe nanotechnology as the future, revolutionary and changing the world, while others would describe it as harmful, both physically and socially for our society.
Is nanotechnology a benefit for society or a potential disaster? We turn first to Dave Lodetto, chairman of the board of directors of the Nano Institute for Social Responsibility.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we come to you with an idea that is already in the beginning stages of mass production in other countries, yet is almost unheard of by the average person in the United States. The product, a silver nanoparticle, will allow us to create an environment within the ordinary home that almost completely eliminates bacteria. This particle allows us to create sprays and coatings that can be used in multiple ways. Imagine dishware and utensils that cannot become dirty with bacteria, or clothing that can be washed free from bacteria. Our people are already looking into the many health benefits of the silver nanoparticle. Areas within the home that contain the most bacteria, such as utensils, personal care products, and even pet bowls, are the targets for the phase one marketing of this coating. There is no limit to the potential growth of this product, as it can be applied to almost anything. Sound too good to be true? We are here to tell you today that it is so. The idea is picking up across the globe, and people are making substantial profits. Let's hear from one satisfied customer.
I live in the Southwest Residence Halls at UMass Amherst, and there are over 10,000 people here. If one person gets a cold, everyone gets a cold. It's tough staying germ-free. One of the only ways is through hand sanitizers that smell awful. But thanks to Silver Ion Spray, now I can keep myself germ-free all day. Silver Ion technology attacks bacteria all day, and unlike the old hand sanitizer that only lasts a few minutes, the Silver Ion Spray can last a full 24 hours. With the help of Silver Ion Plus, I can spray my dorm room and keep it germ-free for weeks at a time. No more colds for me, and no sick roommates. Thanks, Silver Ion.
Nanotechnology has begun to make a big impact in the field of health. Here's our senior health reporter, Amy Chagrou, to explain.
While trying to restore vision to brain-damaged hamsters, Rutledge Ellis Benke, a research scientist at MIT, found that when he applied a liquid that was originally formulated to promote healing in brain and spinal cord injuries, the hamster's bleeding stopped almost instantly. Ellis Behnke has since tested this mystery liquid by experimenting with rats. He made a deep cut in the liver of a rat, creating a wound that, left untreated, would be fatal. But once this miracle liquid was applied, the bleeding stopped and the rat survived the surgery. This liquid is made up of nanoscale protein fragments. When applied to an open wound, these fragments form a fibrous mesh that stops bleeding. As Ellis Behnke says, if you're walking through a wheat field, you can walk easily because the wheat moves out of the way. But if you're walking through a briar patch, you get stuck, much like blood vessels do when they come in contact with the nanomaterial. Further research has concluded that the material is less harmful than stopping bleeding through cauterization, which can cause damaged tissue. Once applied, the material blocks out bacteria and keeps the wound clean. The amino acids in the material speed up the healing process and can be broken down in the body, so there is no need for removal. The material is synthetic, so it has a long shelf life. Just think of how this material could revolutionize healthcare, hospital stays, and emergency treatment. We'll return to our exploration of nanotechnology in healthcare in just a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor.
If you were like me, then you were probably one of those mischievous little kids who took apart your radio just to see how it worked. The only problem is that you couldn't put it back together, right? Well, what would happen if a surgeon you relied upon couldn't put your body back together again? After all, the human body is a functioning system which basically is just a really complex machine, and everybody knows the machines will break from time to time. Nanotechnology has been proven to help countless problems in medical health, not to mention decreasing the pain of any bodily infraction and overall supplementing the quality of your life. No more going underneath the knife for internal problems, no more needles for injections and vaccinations, and no more worrying about losing a finger after you accidentally cut it off, if you can find it again afterwards, of course. Nanotechnology, the cure for so many medical procedures, coming to you soon.
Uh-oh, there's no real way of knowing the exact risks nanotechnology could bring to our health. There's been so little research on the subject that there could be very serious health risks that we just don't know about yet. There is little to no state or federal regulation on nanotechnology, so the industry is able to market products containing nanoparticles that are likely to wind up in our bodies and could potentially do serious harm.
Silver ion technology is only one application of nanotechnology. To explain this application of nanotechnology, the creation of silver ions, we'll turn to our senior silver ion reporters, Jill Trasko and Abby Baines.
Nanotechnology involves manipulating the structure of an atom. Currently, the most common nanomaterial is silver. Silver ion nanotechnology involves manipulating silver atoms or molecules so that they work in a previously unknown manner. The scientific and medical communities have known for many years that ionic silver has antibacterial properties. New washing machines have been introduced by companies like Samsung, which uses ionic silver to destroy bacteria on clothing without the use of laundry detergent. Silver ion coatings also can be used in manufacturing materials that change our clothes and keep them stain-free. But before turning the mic over to Abby, let's hear this important message.
I'm Raul. I work as a mechanic in Boston, and there's a big issue about keeping clean. Being a mechanic, it's our duty to stay dirty. But as a dad, it's my duty to stay clean and healthy. With the help of silver ion treated clothes, I can be both dirty and healthy. The little silver particles in my uniform help keep my body germ-free by attacking the bacteria at its core. And with the revolutionary technology in my socks, my feet don't stink anymore. The cuts that I get from wrestling with my son are now healing faster than regular old Band-Aid. Now I can work knowing that I'm healthy, my body's clean, and my family's safe. Thanks, Silver Ion.
Nanotechnology is the modern-day alchemy. Nanotechnology and biological sciences have revolutionized the use of genetic material, membranes, enzymes, and other cellular components. For the human body, nanoparticles can be used as catalysts, drug delivery mechanisms, dyes, sunscreens, filters, and more. Over 57 million Americans undergo non-elective surgery every year, and up to 50% of surgical time is spent working to control bleeding. So, like the historical studies of alchemy, nanotechnology is revolutionizing the medical industry, among others, in its ability to open wide the doors of possibility for biological and chemical understanding. But there's another side of the story, and for that, we turn to our senior Downer reporter, Zachary Denver.
Nanotechnology has some impressive potential for use in medicine and agriculture. Magnetized nanoparticles are being researched as possible cancer-killing agents at the molecular level, and nanoparticles are finding their way into agricultural production to help grow food more efficiently while also giving food products more vitamin capability. But wait, before everyone gets too excited about the nano future, let's take a look at a few of the warning signs from the past. Asbestos was a perfectly legitimate insulator until we realized it caused mesothelioma and lung cancer. Thalidomide was a great anti-inflammatory, anti-nausea medication until we realized all the birth defects it caused. Just because nanotech has great potential does not mean it doesn't have risks. And those risks are becoming more and more apparent as nanotechnology that could conceivably be used in human bodies enters general use. Nanosilver appears to be okay for the moment, but nanoaluminum has been found to be explosive. And what about nanocarbon, or more commonly, buckyballs? Recent research has linked them to lung damage in mice and brain damage in fish. They also show signs of penetrating human skin and causing irritation. The drug-delivering dendrimer nanoparticles that scientists think might cure cancer may cause permanent damage to cell membranes.
That's right. Not much is known about the long-term effect of nanotechnology, so it's important that we ask questions regarding the future of this technology. How will nanotech particles change once they are released into the environment? How will they react to other chemicals in the environment? These reactions could change the way certain ecological systems work. For example, if certain nanoparticles released into the air through mass production start reacting with other chemicals, such as those found in public swimming pools, the end result could be airborne pollution on the nanoscale. What effect might this have on other organisms?
That's right. For example, those buckyballs actually kill the brain cells of fish. Could any particles released into the air and water affect the ecosystem beyond repair? Engineered nanoparticles can remain airborne over a long period of time because of their small size and light weight. This increases the likelihood that they will travel long distances, across borders, and interact with gases and other airborne particles. Given the incredibly small size of nanoparticles, these chemicals would be hard to track down and even harder to control. When we return, we'll resume our investigation of the emerging questions having to do with nanotechnology.
Hi, my name is Catherine Smith, and as a cook, I worry about E. coli, mad cow disease, and even common cold germs that can be transmitted by food and cooking utensils. As a chef at the University of Massachusetts, I make some of the world's best meals, but I also know to be very careful about how I cook that food. With the food market today, it's becoming harder and harder to really trust foods that I buy. Thanks to antibacterial kitchenware, with new silver ion technology, cooking and preparing food has become safer. These little silver ions attack and rip apart every bacteria that is threatening my store, and these tools function just like every other kitchen tool, so my cooking style never has to change. These diseases are now a thing of the past. Thanks, silver ions.
We may not think about it on a daily basis, but we're already experiencing more nanotechnology on a daily basis. Let's take a look at a few more of the current applications of nanotech.
One key development in the realm of robotics will be nanobots. These tiny, nanoscaled robots will be able to manufacture items atom by atom. There is no limit to the types of items these nanobots will be able to create. They could be used to create cars, shoes, or anything in between. These nanobots themselves will have electronic programs that control them. There will be two general types of nanobots, assemblers and self-replicators. Assemblers will be used for separating atoms and building. Self-replicators would be used for creating more copies of themselves. Many bots would be needed for some of these tasks, so the self-replicators would clone themselves until there are enough nanobots to start building. Both types of nanobots will be about the size of a cell. Carbon nanotubes will be used to create these bots. Nanotubes consist of a new form of carbon that is extremely strong and yet thousands of times smaller than a human hair. In addition to construction of things like cars and computers, nanobots could be used for environmental cleanup. Since they are so small, they will be able to remove molecules of polluted material and change its chemical makeup to make the material less harmful. The danger in nanobots, specifically the self-replicators, is the possibility that we would not be able to control the replication and an accident would occur. This accident would result in the nanobots replicating themselves until the entire planet is covered in them. Nanotechnology will also play a role in cell phones of the future. David Bishop, vice president at Lucent Bell Labs, was quoted as saying, "Nanotechnology is all about light, small, and cheap. And you're not in the cell phone business if you're not thinking light, small, and cheap. The two are made for each other." Nanotechnology would be used to replace parts of the cell phones that send and receive data. Currently, these parts of the cell phones are the most energy draining of the whole phone. Carbon nanotubes will replace them and serve as highly efficient electron-emitting vacuum tubes. These will waste much less power than the current batteries, which use electrolyte reacting and consume energy even when the cell phone is turned off. The company that is currently developing such technology is called M-Phase Technologies, and their product is called the Smart Nano Battery.
Another key area in electronics that nanotechnology will play a key role in is automobiles. Volkswagen recently won a competition in California to create a concept car that would be environmentally friendly. Their entry was the Volkswagen NanoSpider. The car would be created with nanotechnology, which would enable it to be assembled, disassembled, and reassembled on a microscopic level by nanobots. This would make the car extremely recyclable and environmentally friendly. The billions of nanomachines within the car would be very light, but also extremely strong. The design includes sensors in the nanomachines that would be able to sense when the car was at danger for collision and either strengthen or weaken their connections to make the accident the least deadly as possible. No actual production was started on the Volkswagen NanoSpider, as it was only a concept car, but its design may allow us to see the route car manufacturers will be taking in the future. Some more current applications of nanotechnology in automobiles includes air filters and windshields. NanoTwin Technologies' air filter, named NanoBreeze, uses nanotechnology principles in the same fashion as nanobots that could be used for pollution control to help neutralize harmful toxins in the cabin of the car, such as cigarette smoke or germs. The BMW Group is conducting research that will use nanotechnology to create windshields that won't become foggy, paint that will not get dirty, or scratch in glass using rearview mirrors that can adjust their darkness up to 80% over the course of a few minutes in response to the brightness of the sun. The BMW Group estimates such products could be completed and used in just a few years' time. Besides robotics, cars, and cell phones, there are hundreds of other potential uses for nanotechnology within electronics. Such ideas include a nanolight, which is about the size of a cell phone and can be used to shine a light similar to the UV light used in hospitals and eliminate germs. Nanotechnology in batteries will allow the batteries to run longer and stronger. Photoconducting nanocables may be used to convert light into electricity, similar to photosynthesis. A company called Pelliera is working on extremely small, almost invisible projectors and screens that would make pictures or words appear to be floating in air. All of these are just a small piece of what role nanotechnology may play in our lives in the near future, and electronics is just one of the fields to which nanotechnology will be applied. Ideas that seem fictional or impossible may become reality thanks to nanotechnology.
So there you have it. Nanotechnology is already here, but not everyone is excited about nanotech's impact. In our final segment, let's hear from our senior risk reporter, Dylan Demers.
Nanoparticles can enter our bodies by inhaling them, ingesting them, or absorbing them through our skin, so it's possible that you could already have them in your body. It's for these reasons that nanotechnology could either be something that saves lives or possibly takes lives. Early animal testing has revealed that there are potential risks to nanoparticles already in your body. Laboratory testing has shown that nanoparticles can cause inflammation, precancer lesions, and even damage to brain cells. Nanoparticles have also been known to puncture cell walls and have the ability to move freely from one area of the body to another. In May of 2006, Professor Anthony Seaton from Edinburgh warned that nanoparticles present in hundreds of products about to hit the shelves, such as sunscreen and paints, could cause respiratory, cardiac, and immune problems. People most at risk of these potential hazards are the workers who work in factories which produce nanotechnology products. These workers are basically acting as guinea pigs for the nanotechnology health risks. A nanotech bathroom cleaner called Magic Nano was recently recalled by German authorities because of its effects on those who came in contact with it. In late March of 2006, 77 people reported respiratory problems after using the aerosol version of the product, six having to be hospitalized. In the U.S., the Official Occupational Safety and Health Administration has a general standard regarding airborne particles in the workplace, but it won't be very useful for nanoparticles. This is due to the fact that OSHA regulates airborne chemicals in PPM, or parts per million, hardly an effective standard when dealing with the nanoscale. 3 weeks working in a workplace that has the nuisance level of nanoparticles in the air is the equivalent to the amount of exposure which caused animals to choke to death during 2004 experiments.
Last year, over $4 billion was spent on nanotechnology research, but less than 10% of that was used towards researching health risks. Things don't look like they're going to improve this year either, since President Bush has only allocated $102 million to the agencies in charge of protecting public health. Nanotechnology has been referred to as the biggest technology since microchips, so you would think that researching the risks of this technology would be top priority. little money allocated to the research of health risks, combined with the little government regulation of its production, could turn this great new technology into a huge mistake.
The theory of gray goo, originally coined by nanotechnology pioneer Eric Drexler, refers to the idea that out-of-control, self-replicating nanorobots could destroy all living matter on Earth. While this may be an extreme example of nanotechnology risks, it is still something we must think about. Hundreds of years ago, nobody would have thought something as powerful as an atomic bomb could be created, so we must take any possible scenario seriously. The general population may also be overlooking such health risks due to the possible benefits that nanotech may bring. More research is needed in order to understand the environmental and health risks of nanotechnology. Because there has never been anything like nanotechnology before, scientists are going to have to come up with new and creative ways to test the anticipated risks.
What should we do? Government agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency should continue to work diligently to test the safety of nanotechnology products, manufacturing processes, and occupational health and safety. Right now, it's up to the consumer to seek out knowledge and gain an understanding of the impact of these emerging technologies.
For the Advanced Issues in Information Technology class, this is our message to you.